I'd like to begin by apologizing for my voice this morning. It may be a little weaker than normal. I'm still fighting that infection. I've been fighting for a week now, but hopefully it'll let go sometime soon. My standing here before you this morning, on the same day that the announcement of our departure happened, was not by design. We didn't plan on that, but since I'm up here, after such an announcement, I hope that the sermon that we hear this morning will help explain maybe some of the things that we have decided to do and hopefully be spiritually edifying at the same time. We know that in this life we face many decisions. There are things that come in our life over which we have to decide something. We know this has been the case since the dawn of time. God created us as free will beings. He provided us with volition, the ability to choose one thing or another. And sometimes those choices turn into something that would be better described as a decision, because they require time and effort to make, and they take a lot of thinking and preparation in order to make the correct decision about what to do and how to go about our lives. And I think many times we allow ourselves to be worked up over decisions that we have to make. We allow ourselves to become consumed even by things that are on our minds, things that we have to choose to do one way or the other. And sometimes we don't often recognize what those decisions are. And so this morning what I would like to do is look at the life of Paul and see three important decisions that he had to make. And hopefully by his example, be able to learn how we should make decisions in the future, or perhaps decisions that you're trying to make right now. The three types of decisions that I would like to study this morning are, first of all, decisions that are made for us. The second, decisions with difficult direction. And third, decisions with no clear direction. I think all three of these kinds of decisions are seen in the life of Paul. And so we'll begin our story, or our sermon this morning, in Acts chapter 16. In Acts chapter 16, we see Paul faced with the decision after having a decision made for him. In Acts chapter 16, in verse 12 of that chapter, we learn that he and Silas are in Philippi. And as they are in Philippi together, starting in verse 16, we see a situation arise that lands them in prison. Things transpire there in Philippi, which kind of lead to a mob situation against Paul and Silas. In verse 22, we see that the crowd became angry and joined in the contention against Paul and Silas. And the Bible reads there that the magistrates took their robes off, that is the robes of Silas and Paul, and commanded that they be beaten with rods. After they had received many blows, the Bible says that they were thrown into prison. Paul didn't ask for this. Paul had no intentions of going to prison. He did not go to Philippi with the hope of landing himself in a prison, and not just any prison, mind you. Notice in verse 24, we see that he is placed in the inner prison, and stocks are placed on his feet. This is a very uncomfortable position, a very uncomfortable place to be in. And yet, this is where Paul and Silas find themselves. Was this their decision to make? Did they choose to go to prison? Well, no, not at all. This was a decision that was made for them. They had no intentions of going to prison. They did not want to be in prison. And yet this is exactly where they find themselves, because a decision about their well-being, about their future situation, about, in that moment, their current situation, was decided for them. Sometimes we find ourselves in these kind of situations. Life is unpredictable. And sometimes we have decisions that are made for us. Tragedies abound. We have tragedies of all sorts in this world and in our lives that confront us. They may be some sort of violent tragedy against us. I know a friend of ours had their house broken into, and everything in their house was either stolen or destroyed. Every drawer was ripped out of its place and smashed. Every box that could have contained anything was cut to shreds and literally left on the floor, destroyed. They looked for everything they could find and left their house a complete wreck. Violent tragedies happen every day, and sometimes they happen to us. We have financial tragedies that happen to us from time to time. We know what it's like, especially in the past couple of years, to see financial tragedy happen to our friends, to our families, to ourselves. None of us choose those things to happen to us. We don't choose to be broken into by robbers. We don't choose to be put into financial difficulty. But those decisions are made for us sometimes. What we are left with then in that moment is a decision to react in a righteous way. Our decision, after having a decision made for us, is to react in a righteous way. How does Paul react to this situation that he is in back in Acts chapter 16? Well, we read in verse 25 how he chooses to react. Paul, now remember, Paul and Silas have been beaten with rods. They were stripped of their clothes, beaten with rods, and then thrown into the inner prison with stocks on their feet. And yet, how do we see Paul and Silas in verse 25 of Acts chapter 16? We see them praying and singing. Paul took a decision that was made for him and decided to react righteously. There are some illustrations in the Bible, some examples in the Bible that we can look at and gain indirect ideas about how we should live our lives. But here we have an example in the Bible where we should follow it directly, exactly, in all situations that we find ourselves. When we find ourselves in a situation in which something is decided for us, and it is not exactly how we would like things to happen, this is how we should react: praying and singing. Praying for God's guidance, for God's wisdom, for God's mercy on those who have made those decisions difficult for us. And singing praises to God and thanking him for the things that we do have in this life. This is a beautiful word-for-word reaction that we should follow. And why? Well, the last phrase of verse 25 tells us why. The benefit of reacting righteously in situations is that others are always watching. That last phrase there says that the prisoners heard them. I learned when I was a teenager. Well, let me say that again. I became aware of the fact that had always been taught to me when I was a teenager, that people are watching what you do. And they're especially watching you when things happen to you that you would rather not have happened. At that moment in time, you can choose to either be what people expect you to be or to be something more righteous than that. When I was a teenager, I was made aware that people expected me to be rebellious, expected me to be a know-it-all, expected me to be all the things that we associate with teenage life. And then a tragedy struck my hometown. We had a flood. And we as a youth group decided that instead of acting as teenagers might normally react, we organized ourselves and helped flood victims rebuild their houses, clean up their yards, clean up the mess that the flood had left. What did that do in our immediate community, the community of our church? Well, it encouraged them. When people see you react to something in a righteous way, in a time where you would be justified to act in a less than righteous way, it encourages people to be more righteous. I could have done what me and my friends could have done, what most everybody would have expected, and just lived our lives the way we normally would have lived and mourned the loss of the things that were lost and the people that were affected by the flood. But we chose to do something different. That's what Paul is doing here. He had every reason to be upset at the situation. Paul had every reason to be frustrated. He had every reason to be upset. And yet, in that moment, Paul chose to be righteous. And it affected people in a positive way. Sometimes life makes decisions for us and leaves us to react to things. And we have to decide, make a conscious effort to do what is best for the work of God and for the betterment of his kingdom. The second decision that we see Paul make is one that's a little, it's not easier to make, but easier to deal with in a sense, because you have clear direction. And that is this. Sometimes we are faced with decisions that have difficult direction. It is no secret to any of us, and none of us will be surprised to hear the story of Saul converting into the Apostle Paul. We first meet Saul of Tarsus in Acts chapter 7 at the stoning of Stephen. If you were to hold your finger in Acts chapter 7 and jump over to Acts chapter 22, when he is recounting the story of his salvation, he tells us in verse 20 that he was there at the stoning of Stephen, removing all doubt that the character we see at the end of chapter 7 in Acts, holding the coats of those who were stoning Stephen, was in fact Saul, who became the Apostle Paul. Saul of Tarsus is introduced to us here in Acts chapter 7. In Acts chapter 8, he has grown into a full-fledged persecutor of the church. He is the driving force of persecution against Christians. He is the major component in dragging people out of their homes and into prison or led to their death. That was Saul. But we know that in Acts chapter 9, something very extraordinary happens. In Acts chapter 9, we see Paul on the road to Damascus, and he is blinded by a light. And Jesus Christ himself reveals himself to Paul. Was Paul intending to become a Christian prior to this event? We have no indication of that whatsoever. Paul was persecuting the church. He was persecuting Christians. He had every intention, from what we can tell from the scripture, to stay in Judaism and fight, do whatever it takes to defend his faith in the Jewish system. At this moment in time, Paul is faced with a difficult decision. A decision whose direction is clear, but difficult. He knows which way he should go after this encounter with Jesus. He understands that what he had been doing in the past was wrong, and what he needed to be doing was laid ahead of him if he just chose to follow the path of Christ. The question in this moment for us is this: did Paul need to make the right decision? Was he forced to make the right decision? No. The answer is no. Paul didn't have to become a Christian. Paul didn't have to become the apostle to the Gentiles. Paul didn't have to do anything correctly at this moment in time. Paul could have chosen to remain in Judaism. And would that have been easier for him? Probably so. I mean, you look at the life of Paul. He was a prominent leader of the Jews. He was, right at this point, the head persecutor, if you will, of the church. He had everything lined up for him. He could see his future up until his death in the life of Judaism. All his connections, all of his family, all of his life was in Judaism. It would have been easier for him to stay. But he was confronted with a decision that forced him to consider a difficult choice, a difficult road. And that's what Paul did. He chose the difficult path. This happens to us, maybe not in such a dramatic fashion, but in our daily lives, we are faced with decisions in which the direction is very clear as to where we should go or how we should make the decision. But it would be so much easier just to stay where we are, just to stay with what we're doing, to stay in the situation that is comfortable to us. What is right is not always easy. Paul knew that, and Paul took a chance down the difficult road on faith that things would work out for the better. And that is exactly the example that we should follow. When we are faced with decisions where we can see a clear direction and we know what the right path is, and yet we are tempted to stay in the worst situation because it's more comfortable, we have to have the courage and the faith that the decision that we have to make is going to be the right one and that we will be blessed for it. This could be as difficult as something like Paul is facing, where he has to change his entire life in order to accommodate the right decision that needs to be made. Or it could be something as simple as correcting your child, knowing that it may be painful at first to correct your child in the moment, but that correction will serve your child well in the future. It may be as simple as making a decision about something that you are struggling with at a personal level, a sinful situation in which it would be easier to stay, but righteousness calls you to change. There are some decisions that are made for us, and we are left with the opportunity to either decide to live righteously in those moments or live unrighteously. There are other decisions which we are faced with in which the direction is clear but difficult, and we have to choose to make that decision in the face of difficulty. But the third decision, I think, is one that we find ourselves in more often. And we find ourselves worrying about this decision more than the other two. Because in a situation where a decision is made for you, you don't have anything to worry about, really. You're just having to react to whatever it is that you're dealing with. If in a situation where the difficult road is clear, at least you don't have to weigh out whether what is good or what is bad. You know what is right. You just have to have the courage to do it. But in a situation where there is no clear direction, sometimes we can sit and fester in that decision and become worrisome about the conditions and about the consequences and about the benefits, so much so that we become distracted from our Christianity. And so I believe this one may even be one of the more dangerous of the three decisions. But here again, I think it's one of the ones we find ourselves in the most. Consider with me Acts chapter 15, starting in verse 37. Really, we'll start in verse 36. 36 tells us what's going on. Paul tells Silas here, or rather tells Barnabas here, that he wants to go back and visit the other congregations at which they had preached and see how they're doing. But then in verse 37, we find Barnabas wanting to bring John Mark along. And Paul does not think that's a good idea. Paul does not want John Mark to be on this trip. We see in verse 39 that there is a sharp disagreement. Now, this one always catches me off guard a little bit, makes me laugh a little bit to myself, because we're looking at a man known as the son of encouragement here when we talk about Barnabas. Barnabas is the son of encouragement. We have a lot of wonderful people in this congregation that are encouragers. We have plenty of them. I want you to imagine one of those encouragers right now that are just always encouraging us. And picture what it would take to have a sharp disagreement with that person. It would take a lot, right? I think we see Paul's orneriness here in Acts chapter 15 and verse 39. We see him being a little ornery with Barnabas at this point to make it a sharp disagreement with the son of encouragement. But that's not the lesson here. The lesson is this. Barnabas wants to bring John Mark. Paul does not, and he has to make a decision. Now, would God have blessed Paul if he would have stayed with Barnabas and allowed John Mark to come with them? Yes, absolutely. God would have blessed that effort. Wherever they went together, God would have blessed them. Did God bless Paul when he decided to separate himself from Barnabas and John Mark and take Silas as a partner? Yes, we see God blessing Paul in that effort as well. Here in this life moment of Paul, he has a decision to make, and there's no real clear direction. He could go either way and be blessed no matter what he did, if he decided to include God. That's the factor. That's the thing that will determine whether a good decision is made or not. Sometimes in life, we are faced with difficult decisions that could cost us years to make because there is no clear direction. There's no absolute benefit to one or the other. There's no absolute consequence to one way or the other. All things weigh out fairly evenly, and we are left as free will beings to make a decision as to which way to go. And the key to making that decision is knowing that God will bless you in any decision you make in those situations so long as you include him. So long as he is the focus still of that decision. So long as he is the one that is helping us make the decision by having him at our focal point. It is in that decision that we can have faith that God will bless us if we just choose to include him. We get in situations many times that we don't know where to go, and we pray about it, we listen to advice about it, we turn to every which person we can think of about it, and still the decision is not clear to make. And you just have to choose, knowing that you will be blessed with whatever decision you make if you just include God. This is the decision that Amelia and I had to make about leaving. The options were just as good on either side. To stay here and be with y'all, it would be a blessing just as it has been for the past 5 years. We know that we would be blessed here at Direita by God. We know that if we chose to stay here, we would grow and continue in the way that God would have us to go. But our other option was just as promising. And we know that if we choose that direction, we knew that if we would have chosen that direction, that God would bless us as well. And it came down to a swaying factor of timing. The timing is just right for us. I don't intend this to be a going away sermon, so I don't want to break up and break down yet. This is just a explanatory sermon, if you will. The timing is just right for us. We have been blessed here in our time with you, and we have been blessed to be a part of this wonderful work here at Direita. But we are deciding to go, to pursue things that I know God will bless us in. Though the road may be a little more difficult, we definitely want to get closer to family, and I think all of y'all can understand that. We love you all very much, and we are thankful for our time here. But I wanted to give you a little hint in a public way as to what we were thinking and how we made our decision. All three decisions are difficult. A decision that is made for you leaves you in a lurch. You have to decide how you want to react, but you have to react the correct way. React righteously. Choose. Decide to be righteous, and God will bless you. There are situations in life where the direction is very clear, but that direction is very difficult. What that decision requires is courage and faith. There are some decisions in life, though, where there is no clear direction as to which way you should go. In these moments, remember to keep God at the focus point And remember that he will bless you in whatever way you choose to go, so long as you include him in the decision. It may be the case that you are here this morning and you have not yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. You have not yet taken that decision in a way that you should have. It may be a difficult road for you. It may be a situation where it would be very difficult for you to leave whatever life you are in to become a member of the Church of Christ. Please consider those options. Let us study with you, show you what the Bible says concerning salvation. And let us show you the way that God would have you to go. It may be the case that you've already obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're already a part of his body, of his church. But you've made bad decisions. You've been in situations where Satan has tricked you into thinking that one way was better than the other, or made you misanalyze the decision that you were in and has caused you to stumble in a way that you feel like you need the prayers of the congregation. Whatever it is that can help you make your life right with God today, if we can help you at all, please come forward as together we stand.